Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Hi, and welcome to Optimize My Life presents No Communication. And our guest co-host is not here yet, but today's topic is it okay to fight and argue or have conflict in front of the kids?
Hey, Mary.
Hi, Derek. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, I'm just finishing up getting set up here. So, what is going on with you?
Nothing much. Trying to get down to 235 pounds.
And where are you at now with that?
I don't know. 258.
Oh. Wow. You'll get there.
I'll get there. That'll be a good weight for me, right?
That you have to ask a trainer because I don't know.
I'm 6 foot.
So. So, you know, growing up, did your parents fight and argue in front of you, Kurt?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, Derek. I had a dumb moment. When you were growing up, did your parents fight and argue in front of you?
Yeah.
And how did that...
Yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Did it scare you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when they argued, did it teach you as a child how to deal with conflict resolution? How to deal with arguing with somebody? Or did it just make you want to avoid the situation?
I just left the house. I don't want to hear it.
You know, with this whole concept of is it okay or is it not okay to argue in front of your children, there's two different levels of this, or two different opinions. One is you always argue behind closed doors and you always put on the happy face in front of your children. Everything's all fine and dandy. And then you have the other side who builds up so much resentment that it just snaps when they argue in front of the kids. They yell, they scream. And there's always a debate on what level of all this is healthy and which one is it. My personal belief is you can have discussions and disagreements as long as you're keeping it at a level tone. And that's healthy to do that in front of your kids. Because it shows conflict resolution. Hi, Sarah. Our guest has arrived.
Hey. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. We just had dinner, cleaned up.
Derek was talking about how he didn't like it when his parents argued when he was a kid. He kind of avoided this in general.
Who was that? I missed, because I missed the beginning. I just was able to get on.
No, Derek was talking. I was asking Derek about when he was growing up, you know, did his parents argue in front of him? And he said, yeah. And he talked about how he avoided that situation, that it upset him. And so I just started talking about, you know, there's two edges of the sword. There's some people that say, you know, as parents or as adults, you don't argue in front of your kids. You always put that brave face on. You bite your tongue. And you either wait till they go to bed, or you do it behind the bedroom, or you do it out, you know, somewhere where they can't hear it. And then you have the other parts of people that have just so much pent-up frustration that they just can't hold it. But at the same time, there's some that believe it's good to have disagreements in front of your kids to teach conflict resolution and understand what a real, healthy, natural relationship is. Now, I personally believe as long as you're keeping an even tone and you're healthily discussing it, and you're arguing, but you're not yelling and screaming, it's good to do that in front of your kids to show them, you know, it's okay to disagree about something, but you don't need to yell and scream about it either.
No, that's true, and I agree with you on the teaching of the part of where it doesn't have to always get into a screaming match, that it can be healthy. But at the same time, I'm going to throw a couple of different things at everybody. As first, as we're talking about, you know, is it okay to argue in front of your kids? That's a broad thing. Is it okay to argue with the other parent in front of your child? No, I truly believe that it's not okay. Is I believe, like you said before, is you bite your tongue, you do what you need to, and you do it in private. If a child feels tension due to something else, something that's going on, is I believe that it's both parents' responsibility to go to that child and tell them, like, I know that you can feel some tension, but mommy and daddy just want to reassure you that everything's okay, because it creates in their mind things that they can't comprehend because they're children. And they're taking on these adult things that they don't understand and they don't know about. And I think that a lot of the times, too, when we assume that they don't know something is going on, makes it even all the more worse. And then my other thing, though, is, too, is do we argue, should we argue in front of our children? Is then there are times for us to argue in front of our children, like standing up for something that's right in front of our children, right?
No, my question to you is you talk about kids. Now, are you talking a particular age category and separating it from, like, okay, kids and teenagers?
I believe personally that, like, any type of, like, an argument between parents, like, I don't think everything should be Stepford by any means. Things should be real, you know, and obviously there's tension. But I just don't feel that adult issues need to be discussed in front of children, and that would include teens. I mean, obviously there's family issues that everybody would talk about age appropriately, but when it comes to there being arguments or disagreements between parents, is something that stays between parents and, you know, the child's not brought into it.
I completely agree to the extent. Yeah, you know, if it's like a relationship issue, I think, you know, in our household, we talk about it in a harsh tone because I want my daughter to see that, you know, you don't, if something's bothering you, it's okay to speak it up and tell the other person.
Oh, gosh,
and
yeah. I mean, there's stuff that comes up on the fly, absolutely, but I'm talking about, like, you know, issues. Do you know what I'm saying? The stuff that you put on the back burner. But, like, I mean, there's, like, everyday stuff where it's, like, why did you close this drawer? I walk into this drawer every single day. I ask you to close this drawer. You know, like little things like that. I totally
just
get.
You have
know,
a drawer
wrapped
and you smack your head on it. Yeah, my husband does it
exactly.
All the time. I leave it open
exactly.
by accident and he smacks his head on it and it turns into an argument. And then mom has a smart comment, well, I'm too short, so I don't hit my head on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I
well there you
smarter
go.
With them, and I tell them that the hinge is busted. I my kid's sarcastic, and it's my fault. I will take complete and total blame for their sarcasm because, you know, a lot has to do with my upbringing. I grew up around teenage uncles.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I lived on a farm. So, you know. And then from there,
yeah,
I joined
the
military.
Yeah, but you know what, though, is it shows that kids that are sarcastic and quick-witted like that are very, very smart, you know, to be able to come up with that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Trust me.
Yeah.
I've learned that lesson.
My oldest was spewing some stuff today about a boy in class that likes her. And, oh, my goodness, I'm not ready for this. At age 7, let me tell you.
I'm learning that one. Well, my 6-year-old, he's 7 at the end of the month, is all about the Disney princesses are pretty and cute. Still okay. I had to laugh so hard. So this kid drives me nuts because the books he enjoys reading are things like The Fall and Decline of the Roman Empire. And, like, these are his
okay.
fun books. That's it. And he'll argue with the Google because mom buys the audiobooks because mom didn't like reading them in high school, more than less have to read them now as an adult. I just watched a documentary. And so
right
now it's The Odyssey and Iliad. And he will argue with the Google audiobook because the words don't match up in his book from what they're saying, that it's wrong. And so he was looking for a book to read because I misplaced his book. And he's going through my bookshelf in my room where my office is, and he's looking at them. And I love the Hallmark books or Betty Mayhemer books. And they're
mm-hmm.
all cheesy, you know, romance books. And he keeps looking at me. He's looking at me, and I'm sitting down on the bed working on stuff on my computer. And he's like, ugh, romance, yuck, throws it. Yuck, romance.
Nice.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. He's like, find a better book. I go, no, go to your room and find one.
See, that's funny because I read a lot on history and I love documentaries too, and I'm constantly like fact checking. And even like if I'm like watching something, I'll be like, oh, pause for a second, and then like I'm down a Wikipedia wormhole onto something else, onto the next thing. So I can relate with him with that.
You know, it's just funny. I just love kids' reactions
mm-hmm.
to things, you know.
You never know what you're going to get. Never know what you're going to get. Some of the things that my 5-year-old say, like, I swear, she is, like, the funniest person in the entire world. Like, just some of, like, the one-liners she comes up with or just, like, her, well, of course, this must mean that, you know, sorts of, you know, what do you call it, you know, strikes of genius that they have, you know, that makes so much sense to them. So she's just too adorable.
Right? Well, you know, we're
yeah.
talking about how kids, you know, react.
And that's part
no,
of what keeps them innocent, too, though, is not arguing in front of them, not fighting, you know, because then they don't have that unnecessary angst that they don't even know what they have angst about. You know, because, again, as it's putting adult issues on the kids that they don't even understand, you know. So it's like if we want to keep them that way, you know, is we need to keep our issues to ourselves.
Right. And, you know, things happen. You slip in the heat of the moment. You snap on your,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, I think the most important part is that after you're done fighting and you know, you take your corners and do whatever you do. Because there's times where, like, me and my husband get into a fight, and he does his thing, and I do my thing, and cool off, and then we meet back in the middle. But I think the most important part of it is when you're done, to sit down with the kids and explain that everything's okay. Explain
right.
the situation. Well, this happened, then this happened.
That's
and,
the main point, too. And it's like, you, and I don't believe that you should hide that, like, everything's honky-dory if, like, you and your husband are having issues at the time either. You know, it doesn't mean that the kids need to be thrown right in the middle of it. But the kids can pick up on the tone. They can sense the vibe of things, you know, is sitting down with them calmly, too, and letting them know. Like, I know that you could tell that something's going on with Mommy and Daddy lately, but we just want to let you guys know, you know, it has nothing to do with it, you, you know, and that everything's fine. You know, is even that reinsurance. I feel like people, we just don't think of that, to do that, and we need to.
Exactly.
Because they do. They pick up on everything.
A lot of kids are super sensitive. And they
mm-hmm.
they truly believe that they did something wrong when you
right.
fight, you argue. And, you know, I'll be good. Or they have, and you get the other side where you get a lot of kids who like to, they feel their need or their role is to be the referee.
Yeah, the fixer of things.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, maybe if I could just clean my room more or, like, oh, I'll set the table, you know, and that's the last thing you want to do is have a job on them and they don't even know why. That's what I mean, is it should totally stay separated, like, completely, because they don't understand it. They don't need to understand it. They're not going to understand it. All they're going to know is that they're going to have this unnecessary feeling that they're carrying around with them that is overshadowing the things that they should be learning. Again, like I said, as children, they're blank canvases waiting to be painted, you know, and it's up to us as to what kind of picture is going to be painted there. And it's like if we muck it up with all this crap, you know, is they miss out on all the beautiful things.
Right. You know, and the big thing is, too, is a lot of, and I'm competitive, but, you know, and when you get into that argument, you get that to that moment. It's about resolving the issue, and I forget this a lot, personally,
yes.
sometimes. It's about, you know, you get so wrapped into yourself that it's like you know you're right, and you just got to make sure they see that you're right.
Yes, but there's
definitely
a couple of things with that, too, though, is it's like the one thing that I learned years ago was I don't believe in fighting about a problem. I will talk about a solution, you know, and there's a time and a place. Cooler heads prevail. Sometimes you need to back away before you can actually, like, you know, talk, you know. But is cooler heads prevail, and there's time and a place for that to come back to. But also, too, is, you know, you may be right, but, you know, you could either be right or you could have peace with some things, too, you know, with letting some things go, I think.
Right, exactly. You know, and the thing is you got to remember, think about the middle ground.
Right.
How to resolve that conflict. It's not about, and I know, you know, you get tired of banging your head against the wall and, you know, it's something stupid as picking up your socks or putting your clothes in the laundry bin, doing something over and over and over again that they're supposed to do. They used to do it when they lived at home
right.
with mommy, but they seem to
but
forget that, you know, they're married. And
you should never, ever waste time fighting on a problem, you know, is talk about a solution, you know, when you could talk about it, you know, is that, I think that's the biggest mistakes we make as couples. And we just make in our day-to-day lives anyway, is we put too much time and too much energy onto conflict and negativity instead of how can this be a positive thing or even focusing on positive things, and which creates more conflict, you know, the day-to-day conflict, again, taking away from that peace.
You know, another thing is you got to learn to accept what we can't control.
Right.
And learn to just.
Yes.
Walk away.
And people are people. We're all different, right? How boring would we be if we were all the same? So, of course, we're going to clash. It keeps things interesting.
I always use this, the line of, you know, God's going to punish the earth once they put me on. They're not. He's not going to make another one of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm just, I'm a very strong-willed person and very, okay, this is my belief, this is how it's going to be. I'm not going to be forced into believing something because you believe it.
No.
I'll listen to you as long as I understand what you're saying, but there's just some concepts, you know, it blows my mind, some of these people, you know, in this day and age, especially this world of everything's a conspiracy theory, and, you know, the world's flat again.
Oh, don't get me started with it.
Exactly. It's like, really? It'll never, ever wrap my head around that concept
No.
that we believe the world.
No, was. And again, you don't have to agree with it, but you can politely disagree and move on from that. And that's the thing that people have forgotten, too, is we don't have to agree on everything. That is the wonderful thing about this country and what keeps things interesting, to be honest with you. I love
mm-hmm.
talking to people of opposing views, you know, and I think more people should, too. Is, you know, you learn from that. You know, you might miss something. You might change your point of view. You know, you still might stand firm on, like, what your standpoint is. But it doesn't mean change, like, how you feel about that person or, you know, anything like that. It just means that, you know, you have an opinion on something, and then, you know, that person has an opinion of this or that. And that's beautiful because we can have different opinions. And then move on.
Exactly.
But
as long as they have an opinion
on
it.
On today's day and age, I feel like you can't have a difference of opinion and then move on. It's almost like all of a sudden things become hostile, you know, as the whole tone changes.
Yeah, it's like the whole Roe versus Wade thing, and it was like this mass panic because, oh, my God, abortion. It's like, nothing changes. It just means the states decide what's going to happen. That's it.
Right.
You
well,
know, it's like
again,
the Muhammad family president because one liked him, the other one didn't. And people actually got divorced because of who became the president of the United States. Like,
I know. That blows
it,
my mind. Well, it blows my mind, too, that, like, universities were granting days off for people to go into mourning at the same time, too, that Hillary Clinton didn't win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the whole, it all just blows my mind. I can't even go down that rabbit hole right now. We don't have enough time. I can't pick a point to start and to finish on that one. I really cannot because it's just.
There is not. There's no logic.
We live in a day and age where everybody is screaming, I want to be treated fairly. 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 Well, guess what, boys and girls? In order to be treated fairly, you must treat others fairly, which means, therefore, there are going to be things in life that you don't like that happen that other people do like, though. And guess what? There's going to be things that happen that you like that other people didn't necessarily like, okay? But that's the way the world works, you know? And it's just like, it blows my mind, is screaming, you know, wanting fairness, equality, you know, and everything like that. But at the same time, it's not respecting when, like, the opposing view, like, wins fairly or, you know, it blows my mind. Screaming equality, but at the same time, too, is not being allowed to have a difference of opinion than somebody else.
Right. Exactly. It's just, yeah, it really.
Like, is there a list? Is there an actual list of things that we are supposed to, you know, that are different than others or what? Because you can't have it both ways.
I guarantee you, if you Google it, there will be a list somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure there will. It probably is.
I literally stopped Googling things because it's like a mind-numbing rabbit hole.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. It leads to this, it leads to that, it leads to that. But it's just, I would love to see this country just get back to, you know, exactly what it was meant to be, which that was a matter of difference of opinion, is we were able to come over here. We were formed under, you know, the Bible. Difference of religion and everything like that, Catholic, then living united, free, you know, the whole nine is one of, like, the biggest problems with this country is the extreme right and the extreme left, you know, it's all of our home. We all live here together. you know, and there's no reason why we can't settle on issues with compromise so that everybody's happy in their own home, which is all of our homes.
Right. You know, and I know, particularly in my household, the biggest conflict that we had was when my kids were diagnosed with autism. Because of how much misconception there is out there about what causes it. And there's so much false narrative.
Right.
And I had family that sat there and blamed me for it because I got my kids back. So I chose, because it was, I told my husband, no ifs, ands, or buts. There is a set of vaccines they will get. They're not getting the elective. They're just getting the required ones.
Right.
And, but yet, you know, because my kids have it, you know, it was my fault.
And that's not right. Because honestly, it's back, honestly and truly, is that there's no scientific proof, like, showing anything that causes autism. And, you know, I have a brother with Asperger's and I have a child with Asperger's as well. And, you know, it's still out there on what causes it. It's like, honestly, it's very ignorant, and someday we're going to look back on it as ignorant as that of, like, back in the monarchy when a woman couldn't produce a male heir, you know, is clearly it was her fault. And now scientific proof shows that the male actually determines the sex of the child. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be one of those things.
Johns Hopkins University has been doing a 5-year study, and they finally come out with their results. And they have proven in... There's the autistic gene. It's just a mutation of the genetic marker. But also, Tylenol taken when you're pregnant and Tylenol given to young children can cause autistic symptoms. And there's
I have recently heard about that because there's a lawsuit going around for it. I haven't had enough to research on it or anything or read much about it, but I have seen something about that.
They found that Tylenol, they're developing brains with the wiring, so it makes them more anxious, for one, and more risk-taking, but it causes a lot of the symptoms and a lot of the ADHD symptoms and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And it sucks because for years, that was the only safe drug you could take when you're pregnant. The doctors told you, if you get a headache, take Tylenol. And like with me, that's what I took because I get migraines. And I couldn't take my medication, so I had to do something because my migraines, if I had it, I get them, my body shuts down. I'm done.
Right. Yeah, you have to do something. You know, again, I think it's one of those things that medicine will come along and we learn more and more. I mean, it was like back when you were nauseous in the beginning of your pregnancy, you were prescribed Zofran. And now we know what happens with that, you know? So it's everything is, you know, developing and we're learning more and more as we go, you know? But I can't stand the ignorant, you know, assumptions that people throw out there without actual fact of back them up, you know?
Exactly. You know, and that's what it is. It's, you know, it's sad, too, because, you know, rates
like if you have an
so
high. Opinion. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, when you have special needs kids, your divorce rate is so much higher because you're so stressed out, you don't go back to the basics and learn how to just deal with conflict. It's just easier to walk away than try to figure it out and fix it.
It's true. And it's a stereotype that's not talked about, but my ex and I, we didn't survive a sick child, you know. Our child's healthy now, but we didn't survive it, you know, and it's something that a lot of couples don't survive. You know, and it's not necessarily a child sick, you know, it's just our child had a lot of health issues when she was younger. But I'm not talking about as far as being on the spectrum, you know, but it's a lot on couples, and you never know how one person's going to cope with it and how the other person's going to cope with it. And if you guys are going to be able to cope with it together, you know, it's like growing, you know, I always say you're constantly growing is, you know, you grow from an infant, you know, to a kid, from a kid to an adolescent to a teen, but we're constantly growing, you know, and it doesn't stop.
Right. I learned a lot, especially with, you know, my years in the military and then dealing with my kids was the tone of voice and how important your tone of voice is and how you use it.
Oh, that can set and make and break everything.
And one of the cool tricks that I learned to soften your tone of voice. And I know I used to get a lot of weird looks because if you actually just loosen your jaw and you wiggle your jaw, it loosens the muscles in your face and actually instantly softens your tone.
Is loosened what? It faded out. What did you say?
When you sit there and you like you wiggle your jaw and your muscles in your face because your tone is affected by how tight your muscles are in your face.
Right.
So when you loosen your jaw muscles and your facial muscles, it actually instantly softens your tone.
Interesting.
I learned that one from a therapist that specializes in autism and speech. And I sit there playing with it. I'm like, oh, my God, it actually does work.
Oh, my gosh. Interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. And my daughter now, when I get a hot tone, she goes, Mom, your face muscles. Ariana, smart aleck.
I can hear my children talking right now, but they're supposed to be in bed. So I'm trying to figure out why.
Separate rooms or same room?
They have their own rooms, but do you think for a second that they have, like, slept, like, apart from each other since, like, they've had their own rooms? No. All they wanted was their own rooms. And so I told them.
Just remember, at least they get along.
Sorry, I'm listening to them. Oh, absolutely. Oh. That's the thing with kids is, like, the least you get involved, the closer they are. Like, honestly, that's my philosophy with it, is I very rarely get involved with my, like, between them. It's like, I'm like, work it out, you know.
And that's the same way with us, with mine. I only intervene when that one's going to get hurt.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, when there's going to be blood. Mm-hmm. All right, Mary, unfortunately, I'm going to have to get going. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go in and deal with this here.
Well, not a problem. You go have fun.
I will, but thanks for having me on tonight and everybody else who's listening. I hope you have a good day, good night, and I look forward to chatting with you all soon.
Sounds good. Have a good night. I use personally for conflict resolution are, one, to be aware of your emotions. You know, the more angry or the more frustrated you get, take that time out because you'll just escalate the situation. And you can take that breath and take that time and regain your composure. No, especially when, you know, you're arguing with your kids. You know, this isn't just, you know, talking about, you know, fighting with your spouse, but, you know, arguing with your kids too. You know, the next tip or strategy is to stay focused on the issue. You know, why are you fighting to begin with? What is that argument? What is that piece? What happened? What's the conflict? Don't start bringing in other things that happen down the road. You know, like we talked about earlier, you know, the next one is resolving the issue and not about winning the argument. Who's got the higher ground? You know. Another one is, you know, using this, just learn from the issue. Examine yourself along with, you know, everyone else to deal with your conflict resolution skills. Scenarios, there's so many hot topic items. And then the biggest thing is co-parenting, working together as a team to agree to disagree. Is it conflict dealing with conflict? Parenting. Hello.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry we didn't get home till late. We actually made a special trip to see Linda's mom at the nursing home. And so we hadn't seen her all weekend, and she went to a program last night for a recording of a Christmas Eve service early, and the nursing home took a bunch of the ladies and men to that so they could have a service. And then it's going to be recorded on television, public television, on Christmas Eve. So Mom was thrilled to do that. And today we got to go see her. And so we missed being with her. But, you know, family time is, I know the show that you've created, Mary, is for family time. It's for families to join together and come closer. When we do that, gosh, so many issues can be resolved. Because when you draw on your family, there's a heritage there. There's a history. There's a future. And together we can unify our hearts and overcome so many things that separate us. The world is out to separate us. I'm so proud you created this show just so that people can be joined and brought closer together and resolve issues. And so thank you for inviting me. I just was ahead of the moment. I know I'm late, but I want to at least call in and say hello.
Hello, you just missed Sarah. She had to run. Her kids were not going to bed. And we're talking about conflict resolution. And is it okay to argue and fight in front of your children or not? I personally believe that not fighting, but you can have disagreements in front of your kids. And you, as long as you can do it in a calm, rational manner and sit down and explain to them why, what's going on.
I guess you would call that as identifying the different thoughts or beliefs that one person, a husband or a wife, might have. And that the children, they don't understand the difference most times, that they can have differences and still love each other. That's the key. Disagreement and doesn't mean that love is out of the picture. But I think young people believe that when people do fight, that it means they don't love each other. Now, they're not respecting each other in that moment. And maybe they're not allowing the person to share something that's on their heart. And other people are hurt because of it. And that's easy to say. For an observer, I don't even have children. I get to borrow them and give them back
when the problems come up.
But you've been married a long time.
We have been married 49 years. That's true. And
well,
we've been around a lot of children.
A lot of disagreements you and your wife have had over the years. Otherwise, you would have stayed married and be happy about it.
Well, just a few minutes ago, I made a comment that really hurt Linda. I didn't want to do it. I did it. I said it because I was thinking something and was totally different than what we were talking about. But it hurt her. And then I came back and created a little issue. Well, it took a few minutes for us to come back and talk to each other and listen. And when we listened, we agreed, okay, this is what we got to do. That's called a resolution. We don't think about it, but that's what we do.
Sorry, I had to mute quick for me because we have a freak thunderstorm right now in Minnesota. And high winds, and my dog just went nuts because the Christmas decorations on the door started banging.
Oh, boy. Well, we hope that you can cuddle and just, you know, hold your pet so that she feels sense of security. The real issue, the animal feels insecure. Just like children. We forget they are in threat positions when we are having disagreements. We put our kids in what they think is a safe situation into an insecure situation. And so we need to be more aware of that and work at it. It doesn't come, you know, it's not some little, like a, it's not like a making a cake. You know, you got to put the eggs in, you got the flour, you got the sugar, you got to have the baking soda. It takes, there's things in the recipe, but it really takes a person on the other side of it to do it. And where you operate so closely is to bring that aspect of people out so that they can learn to be free, to enjoy and love, and grow it, because it doesn't grow by itself. It takes work. So thank you for letting me just hear some thoughts tonight. I'm really happy that you have your evening show, Mary. And I hope anybody that's listening in will be blessed by it. And I thank you.
Thank you for coming. You're always welcome on the show.
Thank you, Mary.
I always like listening to your insights.
We'll see you later, alligator.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Ron Clayton, the president of the Hope Collection. He sponsors this radio show. And not just this radio show, he sponsors the night show. Monday is all about self-awareness and who you are. Today is all about communication. Tomorrow and Thursday is the call-in line, whichever night you can call in. But it's tomorrow and Thursday is designated for teens and young adults who are struggling in aspects of life and just need somewhere to get advice, to talk, or even just to vent. And then Friday is all about life and breaking those cycles that whatever you're dealing with. You stop banging that head against the wall or the door and living the life that you want to live. And the show runs every night, Monday through Friday at 7 Eastern Time, 6 Central. And the call-in number is 714-816-4686. And we run a noon show on Mondays. It is all about kindness and how having belief in something can help you through obstacles that you're facing in life. Tuesdays is Travel Tuesday with Rick Reese and Ron Clayton. And they talk about Surge 365 and how traveling can be a travel agent and using travel can aid better your health, taking time away from your life. So how you can use it as residual income to bring hope to other areas. Wednesdays, I host a show called No Limits, and we talk about things that aren't discussed. Life, what life is like as a single parent, or expectations and what life is like with special needs kids, females in the military, whatever. Nothing is all about. On Thursday, it's family time with Bob Oakley, and he talks about how faith has helped him in his life as a life coach and raising his kids and helping raise his grandchildren. And Friday is our special guest, Captain Len Kane, 5-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee, humanitarian award recipient, and he talks program that he has developed and we use on a regular basis, and different projects that he's working on with the Golden Rule Society. And today's show was all about conflict resolution, how understanding what arguments can do when you argue in front of your kids, and ways to resolve those arguments and take the time out. Listen to our show on every podcast. Just go to Optimize My Life on Google, iHeart, Amazon, Audible. And we'd love to hear from you. Optimize My Life Facebook group or Facebook page. And that's the show for today. I look forward to talking to you and seeing you tomorrow. Have a good night and have a good week. Bye for now.